I listened to that pompous beginning, and I got to recut that because it sounds so arrogant, and I just want to apologize. We're going to have to change a little bit. We do try to do on the show a little bit different stuff where we look at, you know, who's handling the pressure well and who's being a better leader. And the general theme for today will be about, well, like with Jeff Garcia, how it's interesting how experience more often than not in the right system, when you're positioned to do well, it's amazing what will happen. Steve Young, who's going to be joining us for the playoffs to analyze the NFL, was saying before the Monday Night Football game last night that he believed Jeff Garcia had a big game in him, and look what happened. Almost like Tony Romo in the second half. He turned it around, despite doing poorly, showed character, they opened it up for him, and look how well he did. A mobile quarterback extending the play. What a big surprise. Well, yesterday we had Jim Beattie talking about Barry Bonds. I thought I'd share that with you. Today's show, we're going to have coming up Larry Weissman from USA Today. And then we'll be joined by Merrill Hodge to talk some more about the cult of the young quarterback, just like that new, shiny new car. And finally, we'll be joined by James Jones of the Phoenix Suns. Before, a month ago, we had Vinny Del Negro talk about the Suns when they got off to a lousy start. Now they won six in a row, and they're playing like one of the two or three best teams in the NBA. But here's Jim Beattie talking about Barry Bonds.
The Giants have been trying their best to see if there's another big bat in the market that they can get and maybe give themselves an excuse not to bring Barry back. Or if they bring him back, as big a pressure, at least team-wise, to bring him back. I'd have to say that the only fans in baseball that really cheer for Barry Bonds in any case would be the San Francisco fans. I mean, I think given everything that they've gone through, they've seen Barry at his greatest. They still have a love in their heart for him somewhere, and I think that if he's going to go out there and play this year and break Aaron's record, that I think the San Francisco fans would appreciate it, at least some sort of a payback for the trouble that they've gone through in staying with him over all these years. And
That's Jim Beattie. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Larry Weissman, talk about the NFL, and Merrill Hodge from ESPN Primetime. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.
The holiday season is approaching, and Tickets Now knows exactly what to give the special person in your life. Event tickets. Tickets Now has over 2 million tickets to the hottest sports, concert, and theater events in North America, and each one of them make excellent holiday gifts. Not sure what tickets to give? Give them a Tickets Now gift card, redeemable for any purchase at TicketsNow.com. Tickets Now gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Remember, Tickets Now guarantees every transaction with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find out for yourself today at TicketsNow.com. That's TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com. TicketsNow.com.
Keep the adventure in your travels, not your drinking water. Go ahead, take the road less traveled, because now you can have purified drinking water anytime, anywhere, just by packing a simple 8-ounce tool. SteriPen is compact, chemical-free, and kills over 99.99% of all unhealthy organisms in your drinking water within seconds. SteriPen is simple to use, so you can enjoy the journey and the drinking water. Available at REI stores everywhere, or go to REI.com. SteriPen, safe drinking water anywhere.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468. This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests.
As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out headgamesradio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome to Head Games Radio with a man that we've really missed. We've missed Larry Weissman because he's so shy. We like Larry Weissman, and we're so excited to have you back. How are you, buddy?
Nick, it's good to join you once again.
How is life at USA Today? Are you guys, like, becoming media magnates now?
Well, more like media maggots, I would think.
It's like USA Today week. We've got Howard Balzer, we've got Larry Weissman, we've got Jared Bell. You guys are amazing.
We love to talk. It's, you know, there's probably nothing better in all of sports than this ability or this forum to talk about the best game out there.
Well, let's talk about the cult of the young quarterback. It's interesting how it's hit and miss. Tony Romo's in his fourth year, so for people that think he's a rookie, he had time to apprentice. Phillip Rivers at least had, you know, a full couple years to apprentice under Drew Brees, who's gone on to do well, and Phillip Rivers, that looks like the master stroke of this year. What are the examples, you think, of using the temptation, if you will, of the young quarterback in such a way that's really backfiring?
You know, I don't know that the San Francisco 49ers did Alex Smith any favors last year, you know, dropping him in late in the season to start. That's one of these deals where if you're going to let him learn and take his lumps, go for it from the beginning. I think it's very hard for some of these guys to just get, you know, plopped into a losing situation and you know, 6 or 8 weeks into the season and have everybody else roaring around them at high speed and they're still trying to get accustomed to just the tempo of the NFL game. But the other argument quite often is for a struggling team, this is how you buy grace. The Tennessee Titans might not have believed in the beginning that Vince Young was going to be all the things that he's been so far this year, but you have a built-in excuse for failure if you play a young quarterback, but you also generate a great amount of hope when the guy reacts well to the challenge and absorbs your offense and shows the great athletic skills that can win you games.
And I think also it shows a lot about the quality of the organization and how they manage their talent, especially at that position. If you look at Alex Smith, he had no offensive line to protect him. If you look at Matt Leinart, he has almost no offensive line, but he's so good, and at least he has so much talent at the skill positions that he can get some things done. What about Jay Cutler? It looked like an enormous mistake on Sunday night.
I thought that the timing was poor and that Jake Plummer was getting blamed for a lot of systemic breakdowns in the Broncos' offense. It would be foolish to argue that he was having any kind of great year, but that team is lacking the sort of tight end that it's had in the past, where the quarterback can run those little half rolls or naked boots and have a guy 8 to 10 yards downfield wide open. Running game hasn't been the same. Offensive line hasn't been the same. And the guy who paid for that was Jake Plummer. Now, if the Broncos have decided to, you know, begin tomorrow, today, by putting Cutler in, that's certainly their business. But if a guy like Plummer can't get it done for you, I don't see where the rookie's going to really help.
Yeah, he doesn't really have. Steven Alexander is a good, solid tight end, a backup tight end, but he's not quite a Shannon Sharp, and they're having some drop-off with Rod Smith, and God knows he's one of the most professional players in the history of the game, but they're losing some of that edge that they've normally counted on, and they don't have John Elway there. And how many people would say, Larry Weissman, that right now in San Francisco, if they had a choice between Alex Smith and Jeff Garcia, that they wouldn't go back to Jeff Garcia?
You know, it would probably be a tempting thought. Most of those changes were made under a different administration, and that obviously set the ball rolling here. One of the things that's really helped Alex Smith this year, I think, is a little better coaching and a better offensive system, and certainly the fact that the left side of that offensive line with Larry Allen and Jonas Jennings has blocked so well, and Frank Gore has run so well. But Alex Smith now has Norv Turner coaching him, and Norv pretty much knows that position. He knows the passing game, and he's very good with young quarterbacks.
And then you've got Norm Chow there with Vince Young in Tennessee. We had Rob Baronis on the show yesterday, and Tennessee is, I think, 5-2 now. It took a very short period of time to give Vince Young some of those basics. It looked like during a couple key plays in the fourth quarter on Sunday that he was going indeed to his second and third receiver, that he was looking off his receivers. What do you think is going to happen the rest of the year with Tennessee? Do you think this is just one of those hot streaks, or do you think they're going to continue to go on a rise?
Well, I think they can continue to play this kind of football. The danger, that lies in comeback victories is that it means you were way behind. And at some point you are going to run up against defensive teams that will shut you down or will put their foot on your throat. I don't think you'd want to be down 20 to the New England Patriots for the sake of argument. But in that Giants game, the Giants just kind of went to sleep on them. And Indianapolis is certainly a soft defense that you can exploit in a lot of ways. And again, a guy like Vince Young, play's not over when it starts to break down. In fact, that's when the play might just begin.
We got an interesting quote from John Clayton from Thursday's show about young quarterbacks, and I wanted to talk with you specifically about the clear difference this year between the AFC and the NFC.
I honestly don't. I think it's good, and I think in some ways it's bad, but let's put it this way. As long as the young quarterbacks develop and get to the point where they're going to become good quarterbacks, that's good. Where I worry is what's happening in the NFC, because, you know, AFC, there seems to be pretty good growth. I mean, you can see certainly that Phillip Rivers now is developing into an elite quarterback. You know, Drew Brees goes over to the NFC and is doing a good job for the Saints, but there's not many quarterbacks right now doing the same. Eli Manning having his growing pains, Rex Grossman having his growing pains. I'm sure Tony Romo's going to do that. And what's happening is that you're seeing some of the NFC quarterbacks, particularly the young ones, start to retreat a little bit. You know, Jake Delhomme, even though he's not a young quarterback, he's kind of hit a little bit of a wall right now. So how those guys overcome those problems, I think, are going to determine, you know, if the NFC is going to get better or worse, right?
That's John Clayton. How much of a premonition was it? Jake Delhomme playing a very good game for 58 minutes and then forcing that god-awful pass right when it mattered most.
And often that's the way of these things. It isn't so much how many good plays you make. It's the number of mistakes. Those are the things that most of the coaches will sit and look at. And the difference between a mid to upper level tier quarterback and a guy that you think, well, maybe if we had him on our bench, he'd be okay for a game or two, is one or two mental mistakes a game or one or two physical mistakes a game. You don't have to make a lot of them in a game of 65 snaps to really impact the outcome.
And Jay Cutler is a great case in point, because he didn't play great, but he played reasonably well, and then suddenly he forces that ball when he's getting tackled, and he has plenty of time to throw it down, plenty of time to not try to just throw it up in the air. So I totally agree, especially the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, it comes down more to the big mistakes rather than the big plays in a positive sense. Let's talk more, Larry Weissman, about the AFC versus the NFC. What's happened with the NFC that has become ultimately a very average conference?
I don't know that there's a specific answer to that. We were having this discussion, probably in the early 90s, about the exact opposite, that the NFC was so dominant and the AFC couldn't win a Super Bowl game. I think they won one out of about 12. But before that streak had begun, they'd won, you know, something like 8 out of 10. It's just very cyclical in this league. I'm not sure that I can give you any kind of chapter or verse as to exactly what happens or why, but clearly the NFC is in a little bit of a downslide, a kind of mired in its own mediocrity, while the better teams appear to be in the AFC.
The interesting thing is the AFC is mired in a bunch of 7-5 teams, so it's not like it's really that much of a difference. It's like 5 teams at 7-5 versus 5 or 6 at 6-6. In our last 30 seconds here in this segment, Larry, of those teams in the NFC that are 6-6, who has the best shot?
Well, you know, I still like the New York Giants. I don't see why they can't win at least 3 of their last 4. You know, they played the toughest schedule. They've had a bunch of injuries. They acquitted themselves well against Dallas. They've just got to stop doing dopey stuff and focus on one play at a time.
I find it interesting that they have all of these personal penalties, these roughing penalties, these stupid penalties. They're like acting out like kids. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Larry Weissman from USA Today. We'll be joined by Merrill Hodge from ESPN Prime Time. Talk about the Monday night game and also to talk about tackling. There seems to be an absence of that for a lot of teams in the NFL, especially against the running game. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASE also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASE can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASE now, 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now, 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Head Games with Larry Weissman of USA Today. Coming up in a couple minutes, Merrill Hodge will be joining us from ESPN's Prime Time. Larry, let's talk about tackling. We have about 10 teams in the NFL that have no ability to tackle. Here's Tom Jackson from Friday's show about the Orange Crush defense when they actually practice tackling. Your full pads on Thursday?
I'm talking about having some full speed tackling. We're going to do some inside the five for fun. For fun. I mean, it was fun. and a goal line drill called the head bump drill. This thing where you would have a guy dive over the goal line perceived goal line, we would have somebody go spear that guy. And it made us a great goal line team. When I
you were the best goal line team in the NFL for probably
really,
5-6 years.
Really, really good.
That's Tom Jackson. It's funny how that happens. You remember the Orange Crush defense, late 70s, early 80s. Nobody could seem to score a touchdown, could run for a touchdown against them. How many teams, you follow the Baltimore Ravens a lot. Is that one of those few exceptions in the NFL this year?
Well, one of the things that they're very good at practicing is like the sack and strip sort of stuff. But I don't know that many teams are going live for goal line much during the week anymore. Players are much bigger, and played in, you know, the early Orange Crush with guys like Tombstone Jackson, you didn't have to defend as much of the field at a given time as you seem to always have to do now. There's more shifty kind of runners out there. You know, you get the ball in space to a guy like a Reggie Bush or a D'Angelo Williams, and it makes players take bad angles, and you also get a lot more of this. It's not form tackling. It's guys trying to blow up the player, aiming high, trying to go for kill shots, instead of doing, as you said, the basic wrap-up.
What about Cincinnati? Most people are saying there just seemed to be a watershed moment 3 weeks ago when they just decided to start tackling. By contrast, Kansas City has an interesting habit of not tackling on the road. They got killed by Pittsburgh, which everybody knows now has had a horrible season. But at home, they're a different kind of team. What do you think is the essence of this? Starting with Cincinnati, what's happened there?
Well, I don't think they ever really had scheme issues. Marvin Lewis is as good as it comes in figuring out how the X's should take care of the O's. So, you know, then it becomes incumbent upon the players to not only be in the right places, but to take those good angles and to make sure that people don't run through them. They're a little undersized up front, but they seem to have compensated for it pretty well. The guys who stepped in for them at linebacker, where they lost David Pollack and Odell Thurman, those guys are playing okay for them. They've got players in the secondary who can go after you. So I think for them has been just getting lined up right and doing the things that that Marvin Lewis wanted them to do.
There's an intensity, though. You watch that Baltimore game Thursday night. They were absolutely flying to the ball. By contrast, Kansas City, you know, one example, and I hate to throw him under the bus here, but Ryan Sims had been complaining in the media for the Chiefs, number 90, who had been a top pick for them a couple years ago, that he needed more playing time. Here's Len Dawson from yesterday's show.
In the paper, he was complaining about the fact that he wasn't starting and getting much playing time. When somebody starts complaining about that, you know, when you're in the heat of a playoff race with five games to go, you're not thinking about a team. You're thinking about yourself, and that does not help the football team. He got in there because Jimmy Wilkerson got hurt. It's not that Ryan Sim hasn't been playing. He's been in and out in most of the games, but hasn't been the starter. And has not performed very well. And yesterday, didn't, as you mentioned, didn't do much of anything because the quarterback, here's a team, Nick, that had been sacked, 19 times in the last four games. They've been sacked, quarterback's been sacked 43 times this year, which is a bunch. I think they're 31st in offense, and nobody got close to the quarterback.
Nobody got close to the quarterback. In fact, they didn't even blitz, so that's another side of it. As you look at Kansas City, here's a team that had everything in front of them. Last year they had everything in front of them when they're playing Buffalo in Buffalo, and they let that game get away. Everybody now is questioning whether they're ever going to learn to win on the road.
Well, I sure can't tell you that question. The answer to that, the home field advantage at Arrowhead is so strong, and I guess it can spoil a team. You get used to the opposing offense not being able to audible, having to go on silent counts. You can look in at the quarterback while their offensive lineman, you know, can't. So you get a little edge and quickness and a jump off the line. It's almost unfair. And you go on the road and now you're really in a man to man situation. You don't have that. And I think some teams maybe do get accustomed to that. Though you probably see that more with dome teams.
We're joined by Merrill Hodge, along with our good friend Larry Weissman from USA Today. Merrill, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great, my friend.
Hey, let's talk about tackling, because, you know, you knew some players that when they were coming up to hit you, you were going to remember it the next day. You're going to feel it getting out of bed on Monday morning. Let's first start with the team of the moment, which in this case, in our conversation, is Kansas City, a team that plays pretty solid defense this year at home, but it seems to be missing on the road. What's going on with them?
Well, you know, I think that their defense has been one of the most improved units in football, you know, number one. You know, two, the last couple of weeks they've given up some big plays. You know, I've studied with them, you know. Ty Law is a guy who's given up some big plays because people have been able to double him, you know. And once you've shown you're susceptible to that, people go after you time and time again. I don't know that he recovers like he used to in the past. You know, and when you're going to pressure people and you're going to bring pressure, you always run the risk of, you know, being exposed by that. You know, you live and die by it. And I think that's part of it. I think last week that the backup quarterback for Cleveland, I caught him off guard. You know, obviously every week you get ready and you scout players, you scout personnel. Not so sure that they had a full, complete book on that kid, and, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit. This is where I think a quarterback always has the advantage. When they go to the sideline, I think a lot of defenders tend to think, you know what, they're going to go out of bounds. You know, they start to ease up because of all the penalties that are occurred. And, you know, the confusion,
they're worried about
that penalty. And he was like, I don't care what's going on. I'm not going to stop. You know, and I feel far sorry for defenders right now and the quarterback, how to, you know, tackle him, how to move, do anything to him, because, you know, it's so ambiguous as to what's going to be called. You know, I hope at the end of the year they address that and they make it a 5-yard penalty or a 15-yard penalty, and the 5-yard penalty is not a first down. They've got to do something.
I agree.
They surely are not even based on some of the things that we have seen, and I think that the officials need to clearly be taught, you know, what is roughing the passer. I don't think they know. You know, and I think the rule book, it says that it's left up to their discretion. There cannot be a more miserable way to imply a rule than to say up to your discretion. You have five people look at one thing and see it five different ways, and I just think that's wrong. It's unfair to the players, it's unfair to the league, and it's not helping the league.
It happened to Cincinnati, and then it happened to the Giants when, you know, they had the Vince Young in the grass, let him go, probably worrying that he was going to give up that penalty.
Yeah. Well, it was. I mean, it's happened to every team. You know, it has happened to every team. And it's cost a lot of, you know, the two you just mentioned, it cost them wins. You know, cost them wins. You know, and that's when coaches start getting fired up, and that's when changes will be made, is when those kind of things start happening. They start costing you.
Let's get back to young quarterbacks, though, in blitzing. Here's Len Dawson from yesterday's show.
Get-go against this young guy. And, you know, to try to confuse him, they did that against Rivers when San Diego came here. They did that against Cincinnati in the first game, at least initially, and they had some success doing that. But for some reason, they decided not to do that in the ball game yesterday. Ella?
That's our friend Len Dawson. Larry Weissman, do you think that it would have been, if you're a betting man against a guy who's never taken a snap in the NFL, that you'd be blitzing your head off right from the get-go?
I would attack any young quarterback exactly that way, and I would point to what the Atlanta Falcons did to Jason Campbell on Sunday. They came charging through with their hands up. They got in the passing lanes. They didn't even let him get the ball past the line of scrimmage on a number of occasions. And I think that's almost as much as smacking the guy around. It's kind of debilitating when a guy who's about 6'5" can't throw through defenders.
Let's finish with a discussion about Michael Vick, because here's a guy who's in the middle range of his learning curve. It seems like as soon as he puts together two consecutive games, they say he's solved all his problems. Merrill, before we let you go, buddy, do you think that Michael Vick is really a victim of not having the right kind of coaching, not having the right kind of match, because it's so difficult to match a system to his particular talents?
No, I think that he's got excellent coaching. Sometimes you got to be receptive to coaching. I think people tend to forget that, you know. You got to be receptive to it, you know, and I think if you look at some of the problems they've had after the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh weeks, a couple things. You know, teams realize that when set to the perimeter, and, you know, San Lando does a good job of getting him to the edge and letting him set up. And when you do that, it breaks down your fronts, it breaks down pressures, it's hard to bring pressures, it's difficult to hold your coverages. And what teams did, you know, after that, they're like, that ain't going to happen. You know, the Saints did a good job if they took away the edge. The Ravens took away the edge. Teams are just taking that away. That's number one. And then two, you know, he had a lot of guys drop balls on him. I mean, really, he went through a streak where nobody could catch a thing. Even Algie Crumpler was dropping balls. So, you can't pin it all on him. There is some of it that is he's got to be accountable and responsible for. I think he has excellent coaching. What he has to do is be receptive to that coaching as well. It goes hand in hand. It can't be just one-sided.
Well, buddy, you've been susceptible. You came through for us today. Thanks for joining us, Merrill Hodge. Take a couple days off, brother. We'll check in with you next week.
I'll take a couple weeks off in February. Get out.
Okay, brother. That's Merrill Hodge. Larry Weisman, give me your pick. What's the big game this week, the big surprise game where you see a team that people wouldn't expect rising up?
Boy, you know, I'm still worried about last Sunday's game. I haven't even looked ahead yet.
I'll tell you what, I really feel sorry for Jay Cutler. I think it's really put him in a difficult situation with Denver, a team that 5-6 weeks ago was looking like a Super Bowl team. But thanks for joining us today, Larry. Appreciate it. Thanks for all you do for USA Today, brother.
Thanks, Nick. Take care.
Bless you, my friend. When we come back, James Jones from the Phoenix Suns, team that started slow. They are exploding as they usually do. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA, 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring out of corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to HomeBiz, the number 47.com. That's HomeBiz47.com.
Now, every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, join hosts Fred Mowry, Robin Farley, and Charlie Knox on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122 for the Joe Average Poker Radio Show. Whether you're new to the game or a seasoned pro, Joe Average Poker is your show for all the information needed for today's poker player. The latest poker news, insightful interviews, and strategies to improve your game are discussed every week. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for the Joe Average Poker Radio Show on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.
Well, I don't like to politicize it because it's not about being a Democrat or Republican. They both suck, to be honest with you.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Before we get on with our good friend James Jones, who is going to be a big star in the NBA with, I think, the most interesting team to watch, here's one last quote from Tom Jackson from Friday's show about Michael Vick.
Number one, his receivers don't do a great job of catching the ball. Let's just say, you know, from a quarterback's perspective, the first thing I need is help because I can't be successful if guys don't catch the ball. I think that Michael Wilbon certainly hit on a great point and something I have thought since he came in the league, and you see him close up the first time. He's a different piece and get rid of the football. I think that he can be taught to do that on occasion, but I think you have to make a tremendous adjustment to the player that you have if, in fact, you want him to play quarterback for you. That means you, and I think that, you know, Jim Moore Jr., Greg Knapp, I think they're all trying to do that and figure it out, but they're dealing with a new commodity. How do we make this thing work when we know we have a guy who could probably run for, you know, 100, 150 yards a game every game if we put the ball in his hands?
That's Tom Jackson, and, you know, how you fit people into different roles is something every team in every sport has to do, and it's often the difference. When you talk about chemistry, that's really where the magic comes in. That's what we like to talk about the show. So we're going to switch sports, but not themes, with James Jones. We're going to talk about chemistry with the Phoenix Suns. James, how are you?
I'm great. Nick, how's it going?
You know, it's going great, and I just really appreciate your making time in the middle of the season. You know, we talked to Vinny Del Negro about a month ago, about you guys were 1-3, 1-4, you're having trouble. You Boris Diaw looked out of shape. You just were, you know, finding yourselves as well. And one of the things Vinny said was, we're just trying to find that right mix. Well, it seems like you found it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's taken a while. Like I said, it was pretty much a new team. Last year's team is nothing like this year's team because we've added Amari. And so it was a little difficult for us on that part, but, you know, we got together and we started coming together as a team, and Mike got the rotation down and guys got an opportunity to find a rhythm, and we've been playing like we've been playing all year.
Well, let's start about talking about Europe, because I've heard, let's put it this way, under the official stance of the team, that Europe may have been a bit of a disaster. Do you think it really took you guys off your game, or do you feel that there are some things you gain from playing in Europe that will help you long term?
I mean, there are multiple things that transpired during that trip that, you know, gave us mixed reviews. I mean, it was a very long trip, and in that respect, we practiced at different facilities and different sites every day, and so it was kind of hard to get a rhythm. But at the same time, we didn't have a grueling training camp like most teams usually have. And so I think coming down near the end of the season, I mean, it'll end up being great for us, because a lot of times teams suffer injuries in training camp and guys overexert themselves before their bodies are really ready.
Well, let's talk about chemistry now. We talked with Vinny about that and how difficult that is, especially when you guys have such an interesting and eclectic group of talent. And Vinny Delega was saying, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I'm interested in the new additions this year. Here's a little quote from Vinny about that.
So there's a lot of kind of things on the outside, not only with the team, that we're chemistry-wise just trying to figure out with Marcus Banks and bringing in Jalen Rose and fitting in Jermaine Jones somehow and see if he's going to get some minutes, and fitting in Amari Stoudemire and bringing Kurt Thomas back from the injury last year, and a lot of things. I mean, so it's not a fine science. It's going to take time. But I think the teams that handle adversity well and handle these things professionally, eventually we'll get on track, and I think we're one of those teams.
And I think he's right. Tell me what's happened in the last month.
Well, Mike has found rotation. He's found a group of guys that play well in time and score, because so much of what happens is putting guys in a position where they can flourish, and the right mix of guys who complement each other. And it was kind of difficult because, like Vinny said, Mike was throwing five or six new guys into a rotation that was six or seven strong last year. And so everyone's game has to adjust a little bit. You see Steve's picked it up in some areas. Sean's, you know, playing defense on smaller guys. And so Mike's been fine-tuning things. And in the meantime, we've been growing as a team. Now, that means some of the guys haven't been playing as much as they would like, but, I mean, it's the same end result, that we're getting better and we're winning games.
Well, let's talk about conditioning, because I think it makes sense if the knock on the team besides defense in the middle, and with Amari back, that should make a difference. But it makes sense with the style that you play, where you are running and outrunning teams, that you're going to get tired. And so when you increase that hub of players, that core, from 6 to 7 to 8 to 9, it's got to help you in the playoffs and long term.
Oh, definitely. Long term is the vision. In the short term, I mean, guys can get it done. They can play 35 minutes a night with 6 or 7 guys, but as we get into February, March, and April, bodies start to wear down, And you normally see the teams with the deepest bench and the deepest core of players, they succeed. I mean, because you expect injuries to happen. You expect, you know, guys to be a little tired, especially playing the way we play. I mean, we ourselves get tired. That's the only way we can get better, is to push ourselves to that limit. So the more players we can get in that mix, and the sooner we can get them all in the fold, I think the better it is for us long term.
And as Rick Bucher from ESPN, the magazine, was saying, the game is shifting. Chicago itself is realizing that offense is really the key thing right now. They can have a great defense, but you got to be able to run. And I look in that locker room of the Phoenix Suns, and I see a bunch of guys that are 6'5" to 6'8". They don't have that big wide butt that my friend Charles Barkley, who I was with yesterday for a few minutes, had to knock people around. So it's got to, long-term, when you're 6'8", 220, versus 6'10", or 6'5", 275, 300, it's got to make it a lot harder to last during a 48-minute NBA game.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, our philosophy is to score quickest. And it doesn't matter when you score. If a team scores a bucket and we score a bucket, if we score in 2 seconds and they score in 20 seconds, over time we feel that the quicker we score, the more points we can score. And as the game wears down, they may not be able to score as often as we do. And so in a system like ours, you really can't have a guy that's 7 feet, 270 pounds, running up and down the floor, because we're trying to get as many shots at the basket as possible and get up and down the floor as many times as possible. And that's it's just better if you're lighter, leaner, and faster.
Yeah, but you know, it kind of reminds me of the Kansas City Chiefs when we had Christian Okoye at 6'2", 265 pounds, with a 4.4 40 in the fourth quarter against Green Bay in Green Bay when it's 15 degrees. We just pound the hell out of him in the fourth quarter. He may not be as valuable in the first quarter, but like with Larry Johnson now, by that fourth quarter, teams are worn down. You bring that guy in for a role. He plays the role in the fourth quarter. Likewise, wouldn't it make sense to have one, shall we say, muscle man to bring in the fourth quarter when teams are worn down for that very reason?
Well, that's why we figure that Amari is getting back healthy. I mean, Amari, he's a beast. I mean, he may be lean, he may be light, he may not be, you know, traditional center at 280 pounds, but he's strong, he's powerful, and he's fierce in the basket. And that's the element that we were missing last year against Dallas and in the playoffs against the Lakers and the Clippers. And with him, I don't think we need a big bruiser. As long as Amari's not in foul trouble, as long as he's healthy, and Sean is down there tandem with him, I mean, we have enough weapons to get it done.
And that's the thing that was demonstrated last year. Sean Marion could have been co-MVP last year because he was asked to shoulder more of the rebounding burden. He got up to 10, 11 rebounds a game and really showed a different side. And he's not a big guy either. Tell us about Sean Marion this year and his role. If Amari comes back healthy, tell us about that.
Sean's role is, Sean is the biggest key to, I mean, piece to the puzzle. I mean, because Sean is the most unselfish guy out there. I mean, we're going to ask him to guard the point guard some nights. We're going to ask him to guard Dirk the next. We may ask him to guard KG the next. I mean, so he's the one guy that comes into every game knowing he's going to draw the toughest assignment, yet we still expect him to give us 20 points and 12 rebounds. And so if Sean doesn't have it going on both ends, or at least on one end, we're in trouble. But when he's clicking and he's there and he's going at full tilt, I think we're better than anyone out there.
James Jones, aren't you kind of like a version of Mr. Marion? I mean, if he gets tired, ultimately, could that be your role as someone that can fill that role when he needs to be rested? Because you've got such a multitude of skills. You can handle the ball. You're a good passer. You're a good rebounder.
Hopefully. I mean, Sean has one thing that you can't teach or you can't get acquire, which is the natural ability. He's a super athlete. I mean, freak of nature. But I would hope so. I mean, I would hope to be able to help the team in a capacity, something like that, where I could come in and just do the little things and be consistent and get the things done that, you know, most championship teams get done, but very people recognize or give credit to.
How does Mike D'Antoni handle a team with so much talent and with so much expectations on them so that, as seems to prove out, you guys handle each other well? You seem to understand the team always comes first.
Well, it's just the type of guys that we are that they've brought together. They've put together a great group of guys. Everyone here, I mean, we all have a common goal. We all want to get better. We all want to win and help the team win. And we know that some guys aren't going to play, but, I mean, it's our job to make those guys who play a little bit better every day in practice. And so we understand that, and I think that that's the biggest difference from the first week in training camp where guys were competing to try to get minutes is now that guys are finding their roles, and we're finding ways to help each other, help the team.
What I see is a team that they manage the sense of family. You guys care about each other. There's a sincerity that is missing from some teams where it just becomes a business. Let's talk about some of your other teammates as well, my friend. Rajah Bell, to me, rose up, especially at the moment when people expected him to collapse. After that confrontation with Kobe, he came through with a couple game-winning shots. How's Rajah Bell's confidence this year?
Well, Rajah is the heart and soul of this team. I mean, if anyone's watching the playoffs and they're watching us play and they're watching the energy and emotion he brings, he's that one guy who lays it all on the line. And when he's going and when he's energized and energetic, the entire team feels it. And that's just the way it is. He's a high competitor. He's like one of the most competitive players I've ever played with. And for a team like us where we need that intensity on the defensive end, I mean, he's our staple. He's our guy.
Okay, and then what about Jalen Rose and what he has brought? You got a veteran there. He comes in one more person as well.
Oh, Jalen is versatility, Mr. Versatility. 6'8", he can play all positions. He can pass. He can handle them. But the biggest thing is he's been a champion, and he understands what it's like to compete at a high level. And that's all you need, especially when you put that together with a mix of guys that we have, young guys, Boris, DeAndre. I mean, we're pretty young in key spots, and so Jalen adds a little bit of, you know, veteran leadership and stability to that mix.
When I saw Leandro Barbosa 2 years ago, I thought, here's a guy with great speed but absolutely no physical competence to mix it up. And then last year he exploded on the scene. Is he continuing to build that confidence now?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's, you know, it's a big gap. It's a big difference when you're, you know, playing over there in Brazil, and then you come over here to the NBA, and everything's moving so fast, and the language is difficult to grasp, and the way of life is a lot different. I think he's starting to get comfortable and adjust. And for any player, I mean, what happens on the court is usually influenced by what happens off the court. And if your family life and your, you know, surroundings are good, it's a good environment for you to learn how to cope and get better.
And that's another thing about the Suns team. They understand that notion of family. So teams that are bringing in international players, some don't understand that cultural divide. And Mike D'Antoni, Vinny Del Negro, that whole Suns organization understands that well. When we come back, guess what? We haven't talked about the two-time MVP. We'll be talking with James Jones, one of the young unsung heroes of the Phoenix Suns, when we come back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Termbusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24-7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster. It's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
And back to our last segment, we want to thank ESPN Primetime's Merrill Hodge, USA Today's Larry Weissman, and of course James Jones. James, we haven't even talked about Steve Nash. The guy's averaging 10.8 assists a game. He's a career high, 20.5 points. He's actually doing more minutes than last year, but people are saying that follow the Suns, that with Amari back and with Leandro Barbosa playing the point from time to time, it's taking some pressure off Steve, and he can relax and enjoy it a little bit more.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Steve's been going at full tilt for the last 2 years, and he doesn't show any signs of slowing down. I mean, it's amazing when you think of a guy who's won two MVPs. You go into practice every day like there's no way he can get any better. Like, he's already, you know, two-time MVP, but yet still, every night, every game, he comes out and does something amazing that has you saying, man, he must practice that, you know, a million times, when actually he probably rarely practices at all.
Actually, the paper here in Phoenix was saying, you were saying that it's a 40-foot pass, and he hits Rajah Bell right in the numbers against Dallas. You know, so that must be fun to watch a guy. And it certainly, I was worried when he cut his hair, that maybe he'd be like Samson and lose some of that, but that hasn't been the case.
Oh, I'm glad it hasn't been the case. If it had, we'd probably be trying to find some glue and patch it back up.
Hey, one last question, James, before we let you go. The new ball. I mean, we've heard a lot of bad things, some good, but mostly bad. What do you think about the new ball?
I mean, I don't like it, but, you know, it is what it is.
It's slippery, isn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's like playing with a plastic bag, I'll put it like that. I mean, you just get used to playing with the leather, and, you know, every other sport has it. Baseball has it. Football has it. And we're playing with rubber, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
I just don't understand how saving, you know, maybe $50,000 a year per team is really what the game should be about. It should be about quality of the game. And for my mind, you know, to give you guys a chance to be part of the process of selecting the ball should have been, you know, first and foremost in the commissioner's mind.
Oh, without a doubt, because, you know, the NBA, the game is what we make it as teams and as players. And we want to put a great product out there. No player wants to go out there and play with a product that's going to make them look bad or make the game look bad. So we would like that, but it didn't happen, and all we can do right now is just try to make the best of the situation.
And you are. Thanks for joining us, James. Good luck, brother. We'll see you in the playoffs, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Nick. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bless you. Thanks for listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline, Sirius Satellite. Tomorrow, golf guru Peter Kostas from CBS and Seth Joyner, our own all-pro linebacker. Thanks for listening. Go to headgamesradio.com for all the highlights.